Hi, this is Saber on Jefferson Exchange. I'm your host, Will Smith. You know, when I pitched this idea for the show, it was about family farms, and I have obviously gotten off topic a few months of the year, but I am back, and I have a fantastic person for you to meet who is the example of what a family farm is, and that is Stephanie Alexander of Alexander Family Farms. Hello, Stephanie.
Hello, Will. Thanks for having me today.
I had so much fun speaking to you last week because you're living my fantasy life, and you are fourth generation dairy farmer, and your husband is fifth generation dairy farmer. So tell us a little bit about your background and how you met your husband.
Yeah, so both my husband and I are fourth generation dairy farmers. We met at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. He was from a small town in Ferndale, California, in Humboldt County, Northern California, and I was from a larger area outside of Los Angeles when dairies were still in the Southern California region. And we met at college. And so both of us had mothers who were third-generation dairy farmers, and our fathers were both immigrants as teenagers. His from the Azores Islands, so he's Portuguese, and mine from the Netherlands, so I'm Dutch. And we both grew up doing similar things in different parts of the state of California, but both of us love cows, love dairies.
So I love that you guys met in college, and then you sort of collectively had an idea that you wanted to continue, and you were based outside Chico, is that right?
We are based in Crescent City, California, so we live right on the ocean. We can hear the ocean waves. I feel an ocean breeze right now while I'm walking outside by our garden. We live in a cool coastal climate. The average daily temperature is 11 degrees from winter to summer, so it's just perfect for raising cows and kids.
No, and I always think that being here in Southern Oregon, the heat is pretty debilitating, I think, for everybody. And the idea that you could have a dairy in Crescent City with space in those cooler climates has got to make happy cows.
Oh, it does. We live in a little fertile valley where the Smith River surrounds us. And so we're real close to the mouth of the Smith River. A lot of green growing grass. It's just a perfect use of land. It's highest and best use is definitely cattle, whether it's beef cattle for the meat market or, in our case, dairy cows.
Something that I sort of enjoyed hearing you talk about was that you early on met an agronomist and enlightened you to making this property in Crescent City more involved and more integrated with creating this property.
When we met John Schneider, an agronomist, 32 years ago, real shortly after we purchased our ranch, and he taught us about soil organic matter and how do everything to improve soil organic matter, and that will be better for your growing system and your grasses. And it's all about the soils. And now we know today that is what regenerative agriculture is. And then also when we purchased our ranch, it had some swales in the fields that were kind of creeks or streams, but the cows always went through them, and they weren't really pronounced. So we got involved in fencing the riparian zones and planting trees. And now today, with our regenerative practices, paying attention to the soil organic matter, as well as the riparian zones, the wildlife just started coming. And it was, and today we just think of, wow, we built it and they came.
So what was that impetus of you moving from more central sort of California to Crescent City?
A dairy farm came for sale, and it was a larger dairy farm, and there really wasn't that many people who wanted to own it or anybody at all because it was larger, but it was in a grass-based dairying area. So it was just perfect for Blake and I because I grew up in larger dairy environment and Blake grew up in grass-based. So being that nobody really wanted to own it, we got a great deal owner finance on our farm. And we were able to own the farm that we sit on today. And we grew as opportunities arose when neighbors didn't want to be in a cattle business or dairy farm anymore. We were able to do lease options on their land.
And in addition to growing this dairy business, you have also been involved in an egg business.
Yes. So we do have 5 children. And in the part of going organic in later 90s, there were things we just didn't know how to do. And we learned that the best teachers were in the Midwest. And we went to an Acres USA conference. And Blake, who is a cattleman, really became a soil and grass pasture enthusiast. He read a great book, and he would still recommend it today, called The Biological Farmer by Gary Zimmer. And I myself was just listening to nutritionists and doctors who are teaching people to go to the farm instead of the pharmacy with your nutrition. And I was in charge of, you know, raising the kids, the 5 little kids at the time, and also the baby calves, which was the hardest part of going organic. And in that process, we learned nutrient density comes from animals on pasture, where today it's our cows. But also what we learned was chickens. Get your chickens out on pasture. So we built a portable chicken coop out of an old hay wagon. And we started selling eggs at the farm store and the local farmer's market and getting them in some local stores. And we really were just raising kids. We knew we have a bigger dairy farm. Everybody has a job to do to milk the cows or feed the calves. But to give our kids responsibility, we decided to create a little business for themselves. And then Whole Foods calls us, and we kind of laughed. We didn't really want to start an egg business. It was just raising kids. And today, it's a full-fledged separate business.
Yeah, that was a good phone call.
Yeah, that was a great phone call. We kind of laughed and said, no, not yet. But then a year later, we decided to get extra chickens, build more chicken coops. And still today, it's where we have a little farm store where we sell our organic beef and organic pork, as well as our dairy products. But then also our eggs are in a basket, and customers can come and just load up whatever eggs they want out of the basket.
Super. Hey, you've been listening to Savor on Jefferson Exchange. You can find us at jeffexchange.org or on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for joining us. My guest is Stephanie Alexander of Alexander Family Farms out in Crescent City. I love having you here. The sort of important part of this conversation is discussing this type of milk you're producing.
We produce A2 organic milk. A2 refers to the beta casein milk. So A2 is the digestible protein. You'll hear people who say, I can't do dairy, I'm lactose intolerant. There's a possibility they are sensitive to the milk protein, the casein. I would say 95% of the people that think they're sensitive to lactose can digest our dairy. So all mammal milk historically was A2.
So can you talk a little bit about the fact that this variant, that is it A1, is naturally occurring and for millennia?
The variant or mutation is believed to happen 1,000 years ago. I don't know for sure why all of a sudden we have so much sensitivity to dairy, but it could be one of the straws breaking the camel's back. There's so
Correct.
Many other things that we become sensitive to that you also become sensitive to dairy all of a sudden. When we were growing up, you never heard people were allergic to dairy.
Correct.
And today, a lot of people will say, oh, my autoimmune disease is linked to gluten and to dairy. Well, gluten is a protein as well. And so we're talking about the dairy protein that's mutated. There's a histidine instead of a proline on the amino acid chain in this mutation. So we DNA test our cows, give a little hair sample, send it to a lab, and find out if she is indeed all A2, or we say A2 or A2, because she gets one gene from mother, one gene from father. Or is there an A1 variant, and we don't sell milk out of that cattle?
Is there percentages or knowledge of what the majority of dairy being sold in the country? Is it a higher percentage of this mutation?
We tested a lot of cows, and whether they were Holsteins or Jerseys or other breeds, we found that it was pretty much 33% were A1, A1, 33% were A1, A2, and then 33% were A2, A2. And okay. So we started this learning about this knowledge in 2007 or 8, and that's when we started breeding to the A2, A2 genetics. So slowly we bred it out of our herd. I do believe more dairies across the nation are breeding A2, A2. The dairy industry really doesn't want you to know if A1 out there. That might be your problem.
Right.
But as an industry, I believe more dairy farms are just understanding it and breeding to A2, A2.
And so many people are battling with, you know, a variety of foodborne allergies and things. And I do think that people should maybe try this A2, A2 as an experiment.
Yeah, you are absolutely right. We love it. We get the phone calls from the mother of an autistic child who can't do dairy at all. And all of a sudden, he can digest this dairy, and his autism actually calms down when he drinks our dairy. And the mom calls and says, our little boy just screams, Mommy, this is heaven in a glass.
Oh my God.
He can drink milk again. Or the family that just didn't drink dairy and just was realizing they weren't getting the nourishment, but they also had troubles with dairy. And they call us and let us know that they just feel so much healthier drinking our dairy compared to anything else they've ever had before, including the plant-based milk.
And that is a beautiful thing.
I know.
So I know that you're a lover of milk. What are the benefits of having a glass of milk?
Oh, milk is just an awesome multi-nutritional, nutrient-dense food. It satiates you. Give your children a glass of milk when they come home from school and they're not as hungry. Give it to them with their meals. They're getting all these multivitamins, healthy fats, especially when the cattle are grazing on green grass. They're getting the right omegas in there. And if there's no pesticides, herbicides, which there are none on our fields or anything that our cows are eating because we've been organic for over 25 years, we know that that fat is a healthy fat. When you eat fats, the chemicals are in the animal fats, and so you want to make sure animal-based products that you are consuming are organic. It's really important that our products are organic in today's state and age, and so that glass of milk has so many vital nutrients. In the olden days, when somebody was sick, they would put them on a milk diet because they knew they had got all the nutrients they needed in milk.
Right.
When you're an athlete, it's a great, just great for you for that nourishment and energy and digestion, especially cultured products. Dairy is a perfect medium for cultured products like making kefir and yogurts, probiotics. I can keep going.
Oh, my God. Everyone, I want you to thank Stephanie Alexander of Alexander Family Farms. And please seek their products out at your local grocer. It is truly nutritious and coming from a fantastic family farm. And I thank you so much for being our guest today.
Oh, thank you very much for having us. And we just love our customers. We love people to visit our farm. So come see us, see where your food comes from.
Oh, and don't forget, you make an amazing eggnog using two of your products.
Yes, and our eggnog is special. And one thing about, we have two flavored products, or a couple also for yogurt, but our chocolate milk and our eggnog, we searched out really high quality ingredients, but also less sugar. Food shouldn't have to be so sweet.
Yes.
The goodness is in the taste of the milk.
Yes.
So when you taste our chocolate milk or our eggnog, it's just delicate. It's wonderful.
I love it. Okay. Thank you, Stephanie, so much. This is
Thank you. I look forward to actually meeting you in person one day, Will.
This is Savor on Jefferson Exchange. My name's William. You can find us on jeffexchange.org or on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.